So when I was 17, that would be 1949, and I went out then and met them all again. I went to New York, and then I went to Canada, and my uncle was quite concerned about, you know, my career, you know, what I was doing. And I mean, they had paid for my education, the guy was, which was, you know, it was really good of them. But as I say, that school wasn't the kind of school that you left when you were 15, but as I say, I did. But he paid for me to go to Skerry's, which was a secretarial college. And I went there, and then, you know, they had applications for jobs, and there was an application came in for a job in the lawyer's office in the Milne and Campbell, it was called. It was in Castle Street. And I went there, and I wasn't doing law. It was, my boss was the secretary of the Scottish Lawn Tennis Association, so that's what I was doing. But that's where I met Andrew, because, you know, when I rang the bell, it was Andrew that came to the door.
And he was training to be a lawyer at the time.
That's right. So that was my first job. And I was there until I went to Brazil.
And by that time, were you engaged then? I was engaged
just about 3 or 4 weeks before. I was a very naive girl. I really was. I don't think I could have stayed myself. And people didn't stay with each other at that time.
Oh, no. That would be terrible.
Your reputation would have been tarnished.
Absolutely. So, as I say, I got engaged. And then about months later, I was on the road to Brazil. But what happened was, they emigrated to Brazil when I was 19. And I went with them and stayed there for a year and a half, until Andrew graduated, and then I came home and got married. And see, when we were in, I had the twins in Maryfield Hospital, but then we moved house. I mean, I had the twins and I was living, we had managed to get a couple of rooms, because it was, I used to spend all my lunch times going around the house agents trying to get, because we couldn't afford, Andrew was earning £7.50 a week, you know. He couldn't afford it to have bought a house. We got this house, and it was up 2 flights of stairs. And next door was a rag and bone merchant in the Seagate. And I don't know what it was. It was like something out of the Sunday Post. You know, Andrew had to climb up the pole and hang the rope out, and, you know, hang my washing out the window. And then from the Seagate, we went to Kirkton, and I was expecting again. And Susan was born, she was 17 months after my twins.
Oh, she had
your... Gosh, that's quite a lot.
So then I don't know how long I would stay in bed. At that time, you stayed, she was born in the house, and I had to go and get my family allowance. And it was the post office. And at that time, people just left their trams outside. Mm-hmm. They never put their trams into shops. Mm-hmm. And this woman came rushing into the post office. She said, "Come out at once. Your twins are throwing your baby out the front." You know, it was a big mammoth pram. But I mean, at one time there was 4 children in the pram, you know.
So you said you've got a son as well.
10 years after Ruth was born. Ruthie was born, I think it was 22 months after Sue's. And I think she must have been one of the last children to be born in Prestwick, you know, because the doctors always had them going. Mm-hmm. I think nowadays perhaps it's changed, but at that time it wasn't. So Lucy was born in 58 and David was born in 68, and they were both born in April.
But you never considered before that going to live with your remaining relatives in Canada?
That's what I was going to say. Do you know something? I was homesick.
For Scotland?
I was homesick for Scotland. You know, my aunt was lucky, because when she got to New York, the people she had worked for in the leather industry, they were also living, they had got out, and they were living in New York. And this was her boss's sister, Minna Ballin. And as I say, but Minna, you know, she used to take me out too, but you know, when Auntie Alice was working. I remember... She went to the boss's house to introduce me there. And there was 2 things that really, really impressed me. and one was chocolate ice cream, and the other one was the toilet paper.
Is it soft?
It was quite different from
that. Yes, ours is rather hard.
Yeah, Bronco, we had Bronco here.
Well, all these years ago, you were too young to know, but all these years ago, it was Isle Toilet Roll that they had. And Isle Toilet Roll had poems on every second or third leaf. And that's one of the reasons that Aunt Mengmish was off these poems. You know, there was about Isle, but it was like nursery rhyme with Isle Incorporated. So anyway, I stayed, and I was lucky to even got staying in New York, because I was at the Queen Elizabeth, and that was a boat. And when I got to New York, they wouldn't let me off, because I was too young. You had to be 18 before you were allowed to go yourself. So I had to stay in the boat overnight. Everybody else had left. And then the next day, my aunt had managed to get a bond for me to allow me. I thought I was on my way to Ellis Island. And she'd got this bond for me to stay. But I had to be back. I had to be back in the 2 months. I couldn't have waited any longer. So then I went to Canada. And there was my Oma and Opa that I hadn't seen all these years. Do you know, it was ridiculous. I was so homesick. I was just homesick for Scotland. And I never slept at night. And I didn't know what to do.
And were they thinking were bringing you to keep you there? No. But you must have suspected
They talked about that in 1939. And then there was these boats that were sunk. And that was the end of it. I never did get over. But I was homesick, and they didn't know what to do. And my Uncle Ernst took me. I don't know if you remember Robert Wilson, the singer. So they took me to a Scottish night at the theatre, and Robert Wilson was singing, and I was fine after that.
So tell us a wee bit about the book that you've written.
It's just my journey from...
It's not just a...
It's a lovely children's book. Yeah.
I'll let you
book.
See it.
And did you write that for your children or your grandchildren?
No, I didn't. I was a member of your writers club, and this time they were looking for people that would write stories for children who, what is it, they weren't good at learning. There's a name for that.
With learning difficulties.
So I wrote this story, and it was a long, all about, you know, I just would do little sentences, and I wasn't getting anywhere with it, and I was treasurer of the club. And they'd asked Alison Prince, who lives in Arran, to come and talk to the club. And I had her staying with me. And I told her about this. She said, could I send that to my agent? So it was Alison Prince. But I mean, before that I had been at a conference and I had got commended, or highly commended. And that was Anne Fine. That was the one.
She's a great writer.
Well, that was Alison. Anne Fine did that. We got on very well with her. So, I mean, it was between her and then Alison Prince coming over. And Alison sent the story to the agent in London. And it went from there. I mean, it took a long time.
It's beautifully illustrated.
Oh, yeah, that's Gerald Fitzgerald. Super.
Did he just read the story and then choose how to illustrate it?
No, the publishers got him. But, and he lived in Ireland too, funny enough. But she had a job, but I had to cut it right down. But, and it came out well as a picture.
It's very good. It's a very moving story about a child. It's called It In Your Pocket, isn't it?
It's been quite a success. You know, it's been good. But there was the English version. And then I had to go and write the American version. Their ending is different from our ending.
Yep. My goodness. It's been translated into a number of languages, hasn't it?
It's been in, and it's published in German. I try to keep it light, because I'm speaking to children. I think that's the bits that they're going to remember.
Talking of the synagogue, you
I go once a year or so.
Do you?
I do. I go to Mendel's.
Do you?
Yeah. Or show in the park.
The show in the park. So Judaism still is part of your life?
I mean, I was part of the Jewish community, but I'm proud of my background.
How did you end up being Church of England and your husband in Church of Scotland?
Absolutely.
When I came over, the granny got a hold of me. That was Granny Gillimore. And within a week, I was going to the Sunday school.
Ah, right. But would that not be in Scottish?
No, she was Episcopal.
I see.
But I don't think it was. I don't think right. It wasn't the Church of England that I went to. I think it was just the local Sunday mm-hmm. school. But, see, I never really got mixing with Jewish people. Mm-hmm. And actually, the Jewish community, when they knew I was going to get baptised, wrote to my grandfather. I didn't even know the Jewish community knew about me. But they wrote to my grandfather and said, do you know that Dorrit's going to be? And he wrote back and said, well, you know, you never were near Dorrit when mm-hmm. she needed you. And so that was that.
Which is a fair comment.
It was. It was, really. But I call myself a Jewish Christian.
Fair enough.
Like that.
And from the time that you were with the Gullymores, did you have anything to do with the Jewish community, or was...
Do you know, it's funny. I remember once going to some party. I don't know, there must have been a Jewish community in Edinburgh. But because it's funny, I took a friend, and she's never forgotten it, neither have I. But that was I don't know, would it be Sukkot or something? Maybe that's what it was. But the thing is that I think Rosa was at that party too. Well, I'm saying that, but I think she would be.
Really?
You know?
Rosa Sackman.
Yeah, right. I think so, because she was in Edinburgh at that time. But now and again, Mummy Gallimore would take me down to meet Dr. Tuck, because I've got a picture of Dr. Tuck's garden.
And when did you meet other refugees? Not until you were quite grown up then?
I'll tell you, the only one I knew was Rita McNeil, and her husband was Ian Ozen's throat in Ayr, and I don't know how they heard about me. No, it's funny, because Rita McNeil was at school with Billy McCullough, who was Mummy Gallimore's nephew, so I think he must have told us about her. And then we had to go to some big office in Edinburgh and see about, I think it was to do with compensation, something like that. And Rita McNeil was there along with her foster mum, you know. But that's the only one I knew. And I didn't know it was Kinder Transport. Never heard the name.
Dori, when I first said that we were coming out, you know, that we wanted to interview, I thought you said something very interesting. You said, why? Because I haven't done anything. And I said, yes, you have. And then you said casually, well, I did start off.
I did.
Would you like to tell, because Claire doesn't know about this.
It was Joe Medstein and myself. And we actually, as I say, we had our first meeting in London. And then, I don't know how we managed, but we really did manage to get quite a lot of people.
Is this what, the SAROC, like, which stands SAROC, for what?
The Scottish Annual Reunion of Kinder. And it was great, because I think some people had got their names in the index, you know, of the brochure from the London. I think we got some people from there. And then I've talked on the wireless, and there was an article in the Sunday Post. And funny enough, and that was where I got a hold of, that's how Misa found out, who lives in Kilmarnock. She had got the Sunday Post and she had that article. But I mean, I was in other papers as well.
And so they all came to you?
And and Joe. And of course, look at Joe. Joe had got Joe, Leo, and Danny, and Izzy. So the two sisters, they live in America. That's a wonderful, you know, the five of them all got over in a Kinder Transport. All different times.
And their mother, and his mother as well.
And their mother got over too. Well, that wouldn't be a Kinder Transport, mm-hmm. but she got over mm-hmm. as well. But people wrote to me, and when we had our meetings, you know, we brought all sorts of interesting books and that, and then started off, and it finished off being an exhibition. Mm. You know, we had all the pictures. There was and the library in Ayr helped me, and we had all these. It was about 12 boards. What happened was that I had a holiday home in Bantry, and this day, Margaret Sanderson, who lived just two or three doors down, came to see me. And she said, Dorrit, there's somebody that's been on Women's Hour, and she's looking for people like yourself. As I say, I didn't know anything about Kinder Transport. And this is the phone number, and you phone her. So I phoned, and within 3 weeks I was helping to publicise the reunion in London, at which 1,000 people were there. It was fantastic. And then, you know, we managed, it was Joe Metstein, and we got all these people from Scotland together, and that's where it all started. But I hadn't known anybody before that. Leo Metstein, he was the very first kinder transport boy I ever met. He came up to the house.